Church, say amen again.
Amen.
One more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We greet you in the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank God for His grace, His mercy, and His enduring love. Won't you stand to your feet? I'm really ready to dismiss our children for Children's Church. And parents, if you would release all of your children into the center aisle or either the side aisles, we want to pray for them as they get ready to go downstairs for their own service. We try to prepare a service that blesses them in their own way. And so all children under the sixth grade and under, if you would let them go with our adult, Minister Jane White, and other adult volunteers, we believe that they will be blessed. Let's pray for our children. Father, bless now our children that you would speak to them in their own way, in their own service, at their own level. Help our adults who work with them to be mindful of the tremendous privilege and gift and honor it is to train up a child in the way that they should go. So that when these children get older, God, we pray that Shiloh has been party to putting something inside of their spirits that shall never dissipate or disappear. Bless them and keep them now, we pray in Jesus' name. Let us say together, amen,
amen,
and amen. Let's give our children a big hand of encouragement. I'm going to invite all of the other adults remaining to turn with me in the book of Daniel. Stand to your feet and turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel is one of those major prophetic books that you find tucked away right after Ezekiel and before Hosea. So say amen if you've located Daniel chapter 6. The Bible reads as follows. I want to read starting in verse number 25. Bible reads of Daniel chapter 6, and your page is still flipping, so we'll take a moment. If you need to consult the table of contents, don't be ashamed to do it. Amen. We want you to be there instead of faking it. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6, verse number 25. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me today on the title of this sermon. What got you here is going to keep you here.
Right.
What got you here is going to keep you here. Let us pray together. Father, may these words not return void, but may they illuminate somebody's mind, teach us something we did not know. May these words encourage somebody's heart, help us to know trouble doesn't last always. And God, I pray, may these words convict somebody's soul, help somebody to come to know you in the pardon of sin and accept the free gift of eternal life, oh God. We love you today. We bless you today. We magnify and glorify your name. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Let your power and the anointing of the Most High God fall fresh in this place. And we certainly shall lift up the name of Jesus and ask that you would draw men and women unto yourself. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen.
Amen
and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I am actually going to sit in character today for today's sermon. Sit in character as the character Daniel. that you find written in this book of Daniel. Those of you who were with us last week know that I spoke, the Lord had me to preach out of Daniel's book and talk out of Daniel chapter 1. And we laid the foundation for a biblical conversation and reflection around Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, whom we've come to know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so although this attire and garb is certainly unlike, probably very unlike what Daniel would have worn and probably was wearing when he was in the lion's den, I'm using it simply as a point of suspended imagination to invite you to go back into an era. Some theologians say it was around the second century B.C. So others say 6 B.C., but whatever the correct time frame, that we simply know that and believe that there was a Daniel and that God used him in a mighty and powerful way. So go back with me now as we presume the role of Daniel in the lion's den. Shh. I don't want you to wake the lion that are sleeping around me. You see, my name is Daniel, and many of you may know me for this story in my book, Daniel in the Lion's Den. But I need you to know this isn't just a nice Sunday school story. There's much in this book that speaks to the hearts and the minds and the imaginations of adults who are here, as well as children who understand that God can shut up the mouths of lions. Others know me and this book not necessarily because of me, but because of my three friends, the three Hebrew boys. Some of their daddies and their mamas called them by their Jewish name, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. But we have come, many of you have come to know them by their earthly or Babylonian name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it was those three friends of mine who were shut up in a fiery furnace and whom God protected while they were in that fiery furnace, and their story has come through the ages, as have mine, as being in the lion's den. But again, there's far more to our story than just the simplicity of God can keep you in the fire and God can keep you in the lions. But how many of you know that's a great blessing in and of itself? That when you're going through the fire, God will not only take you out of the fire, but sometimes he'll leave you in the fire and he'll step in the fire with you to take care of you. Or if you find yourself in a den of lions, that God may not always take you out of the lion's den, but God will step into the den and shut up the lions on your behalf. Somebody ought to say hallelujah to that. How many of you ever been stuck in a lion's den with folk around you or things around you that sought to destroy you? Some of y'all not being honest with yourself this morning, because I know everybody has had an experience of being in a lion's den-like predicament. And so here I find myself sitting in this den around these lions that right now are sleeping because they thought, some of the other folk thought, that by putting me in the lion's den that I was going to be torn to pieces and destroyed and killed by these lions. But my story starts far before this experience in the lion's den. And I just want to take you back a moment and set the stage for how did I get here? But you see, I'm here not on my own accord, but because I am here, I'm going to trust that the God who allowed me to be here knows what he's doing. And so the same God that kept me out of the lion's den is the same God that's going to watch over me while I'm in the lion's den. But how did I get here? I got here because of my obedience and my faithfulness unto my God, Elohim, my God, El Shaddai, my God, Jehovah. His name is actually too holy for us to pronounce in Judaism. And so we don't say the name which is above every name, but we do use the name Jehovah. That name that we have come to be transcribed as Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Or Jehovah Nisi, he fights my battles. Or Jehovah Shalom, he gives me peace in the midst of a storm. Or Jehovah Tsidkenu, he's my righteousness. Oh, Jehovah Rapha, he's my healer. Oh, Jehovah Rohi, come on, somebody. Anybody know Jehovah for themselves? I have been faithful to my God in everything that I have tried to do. And in point of fact, that's the reason I'm here in this lion's den today. For you see, when I was not too long ago, my friends and I, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, were all taking care of our royal responsibilities in the court of our king, King Jehoiakim. And then one moment, our lives were turned upside down. For you see, our king of Judah was overrun by another king called Nebuchadnezzar from a nation called Babylon. And that king overran our king. And in addition to taking over our land, he took not only our possessions back to Babylon, but he also called for the best and the brightest of the royal children in the royal court. Chapter 1 of my book says this: then the king instructed Ashpenaz, his king of the eunuchs, his person in charge of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. And so that's where I and my three Hebrew friends, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, were scooped up, never to go back to our native land, Jerusalem, but to now be dropped into a foreign land, in a foreign place, under the rulership of a foreign king by the name Nebuchadnezzar. And there, that king tried to change who we were. He tried to change our identity. Some of you were here with us last week. Remember, I talked about three words: our nutrition, our education, and our identification. The Bible says in the text that King Nebuchadnezzar instructed Ashpenaz to give us a different kind of diet. And so the word says in this particular slide that Ashpenaz was instructed by the king to introduce to us the delicacies of the Babylonian court. And so we were brought, put that screen back up, we were introduced to a meal that was not like the meal we had. And we were introduced to wine, next slide, to wine that was unlike what we drank when I was in our native Israel. And so they were looking to change us, right? They were looking to change us. And so they gave us different delicacies. And they gave us different education. That slide, that recent slide says that we were introduced to the delicacies of the king and to the wine of the king and the education of the king, and gave us 3 years of training that was unlike what we had in our native Jerusalem. And what he was trying to do was make us be somebody that we were not. But I just want to let you in on a little secret. Those of you who are members of this branch of Zion called Shiloh, you do know that Shiloh means a place of peace or a house of peace, don't you? And so God is our peace, Jehovah Shalom. We say this every day. Let me share with you here, the Christians at Shiloh, that God is a God of peace. We may not always understand why God does what God does when God does it, but how many of you know God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts? But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so too are the ways and the thoughts of God above man. And so Nebuchadnezzar tried to change us. And how many of you know you're living in a world that is trying to change you? It tries to change the way you think. It tries to change what you eat. It tries to change your very name. But if you remember whose you are and who you are, that then God will make God always first and foremost in your life. Then no matter what the world tries to say, you know that you are a child of the Most High God. And so our very names were assaulted. The names of my friends and I mean these things that I want to show you on the screen. My name, Daniel, means God is my judge. My friend's name, Hananiah, his name means Jehovah has given. Mishael, my friend Mishael, his name means who is like God. And Azariah, his name means whom Jehovah helps. And I shared with you last week that if you remember who you are, then no matter what the devil tries to tell you you are, then you don't have to worry about what they say. Just remember what God said about you. tell my friends all the time, don't worry. Listen to what they say. What has God said about you? That's what matters, and the only thing that matters. And so what Nebuchadnezzar tried to do was change our names. He took my name, and he gave me another name called Belteshazzar. He took my friend Mishael's name and tried Hananiah's name and changed his name to Shadrach. Took my friend Mishael's name and changed his name to Meshach. And took my friend Azariah and changed his name to Abednego. All in an attempt to change our identity and the way that we think. And really, ultimately, what he tried to do was change the God that we worship. But I'm here to tell you, if you always put God first, no matter what the world throws at you, God will always fight your battles. That's why I'm reminded of what it says in your Christian New Testament, that if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of the things shall be added unto you. You see, when I found myself in strange predicaments, I held on to what my daddy, right? My daddy's name is not mentioned in my book anywhere. But I want you to know I have a daddy. And I want to mention to all of the fathers here today, Happy Father's Day. Because if you're a real father, you have put the word of God in the spirit and heart of your child. So that when they get older, they don't have to depend on anything else. But fall back on what they know, which is the word of God. Some of you who have good fathers ought to give God a praise offering today and say thank you, Lord, for my daddy. And not only for a good father on this Father's Day, but we acknowledge our good women and our good mothers and continue to say to them, we love you and we praise you. My Jewish parents put God's word in my spirit. And they said to me, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, Danielle, I want you to always trust in the Lord. And in point of fact, they told me something about the wisdom of the Jewish literature in which a proverbial writer says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God and God will direct your path. You see, I believe that. When I was at home in Jerusalem, and I stand on that now that I'm in a strange place called Babylon. Any of y'all ever been in a strange place? A place you don't know how you got there, but all of a sudden you find yourself there. But you know that the God who allowed you to be there is still God over your circumstances. You don't know how long you're going to be there. But until God brings you out from there, you're going to stand on the promises of Almighty God. Anybody ever found themselves in a place called Babylon? That's where I find myself. And I'm in this lion's den because of my faithfulness to my God. You see, what mama and daddy taught me was that every day you wake up, you fall on your knees and you give thanks to your God. And so ever since I landed here in Babylon, I always found myself facing where Jerusalem is. And I would face where the temple is. Because even though I couldn't get to the temple, I can pray to the God of the temple. And although my circumstances are adverse, I still believe that the God of my circumstances is bigger than my circumstances. And so every day I find myself in my circumstances. I face Jerusalem. And I bow myself down before God. And I say, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. But since I am here, I'm believing that you who brought me here, you're going to keep me while I'm in this strange place. I don't know when I'm going to get out of here, but Lord, I thank you that you're still God all by yourself. And so, Lord, I'm not going to praise you because of my circumstances. I'm going to praise you in spite of my circumstances, and I'm going to still give you glory, give you praise, and give you honor in the name of the God that has kept me this far by faith. For you see, beloved of God, when I first got here, they tried to change my name and my identity. But I told the king and his eunuch that if you let me have my own diet, instead of eating your meal and your food and drinking your wine, let me eat the vegetables of the land. and let me drink the water of the land. And let me just pause for a moment and just give a little 21st century update about this situation. You all just heard from Dr. Ian Smith, and how appropriate is the sermon where Daniel said, I'm going to push back what the king wants me to eat, and I'm going to eat the stuff that I know comes from God, the vegetables and the fruits that are healthy for my body. And I'm going to ask all of us here to think about what we put inside of our bodies. Amen. Report got a kid on the loose. Look at that. The vegetables. Put that screen back up because I don't want you to think I'm making this up. The Bible says, please test your servants and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink instead of the meat and the meal of the king. And I will guarantee you that at the end of the test period, my countenance will be better than the countenance of those who, my other compadres, my other Jewish friends, who did eat the king's meat. Let me just say to everyone here, we all have a choice to eat the king's meat or to reject the king's meat. Come on, somebody. And I'm asking you to always choose God and choose the healthy diet, the healthy response, the healthy choice, not only physically, but also spiritually and mentally. And because it was bigger than what I just ate, it was also eating the right food. But how many of you know if you just eat the right food but don't praise the right God, you can just be a healthy, lost person? But you gotta eat the right food and pray to the God of your salvation, the God that at least met your need according to his riches in glory. And because I not only ate the vegetables and drank the water, but I prayed to God, God has made a way for me. So under three different kings, I found myself in every situation choosing God before I listened to the king. Under Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he called me forth to interpret that dream. And as a result of interpreting that dream, I was elevated. And not only was I elevated to be over all of the magicians and astrologers in the land of Babylon, but I didn't get blessed without being a blessing to my three friends. So as I was elevated, I also asked the king to elevate Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Let me just do a little caveat, because some of us, when we get our blessing, we forget about our friends. Come on, somebody. But if God has blessed you, you ought to try to be a blessing to somebody else. Well, I fixed this thing where I not only got elevated, but I elevated Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. But all of us understood, as long as we keep God first and don't compromise, what got us here, the God that got us here, is going to keep us here. I don't care what the circumstances. And so there I was interpreting the king's dream. And the king blessed me and elevated me. But I still served my God. And before he knew it, King Nebuchadnezzar fell off the scene. And his grandson Belshazzar came to be ruler over the land. And Belshazzar also had a dream. I interpreted that dream. And Belshazzar also elevated me. And under each of these kings, look at what they said about me. Go to the next screen. They said this about me under each of these kings. They said that I was a blessing and that I was a man who in the kingdom was full of the Holy Spirit of the Holy God. And that God made me chief over the astrologers and the soothsayers. Go to the next screen. And they said this about me, right? That I had an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and solving riddles and explaining enigmas. And the next screen, it goes on to say further in my book, as they write about me, that I had an excellent spirit, that Daniel distinguished himself because of the excellent spirit that was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now, this is my point. As long as you are faithful to God, God will always be faithful to you. So a lot of us get into these positions and we sell out. We forget who we were and who we are and what God has done for us. But I never forgot my God. And I never stopped blessing my God. No matter what situation I found myself in. And no matter how high God elevated me. the excellent spirit that was within me was the spirit of the Most High God. And so that God, even in Babylon, elevated me. Come on, somebody. Y'all just stop and think about that for a moment. I'm a Jewish boy from Israel who's brought to the king's court that was supposed to serve the king underneath all of the other folk. But because of my haters and my naysayers and the backstabbers, they each tried to destroy me. But every time they tried to destroy me, look at how my God made a way for me. Y'all missing that point, aren't y'all? I tell you, if you just put God first in your life, God will open doors that no man can shut. If you just put God first in your life, He'll build bridges over troubled waters. If you just put God first in your life, He'll lead you over mountains and bring you through circumstances you never thought you could have made it by yourself. Has anybody gotten a blessing you know you didn't deserve? Has anybody been elevated to a position you know you couldn't have earned? Has anybody been given entree to a place that you don't know why you're there? But I'm going to tell somebody, if you just stand on the promises of God, God will always make a way out of no way. God will always open doors. I'm a witness. I don't know how I find myself here as ruler over all of the astrologers and musicians of King Nebuchadnezzar's court and King Belshazzar's court. And now I'm here because of a third king by the name of Darius. Shh, I'm talking too loud. I don't want to wake these lions up, y'all. Darius, the third king. So Nebuchadnezzar brought me to Babylon. His grandson Belshazzar kept me in Babylon. But then because of my focus on God, even when a third king rose up by the name of Darius, I didn't know what was going to happen. But even that king was told that there is a man who could interpret dreams and that the God of Israel is inside of him. How many of you know that it gets to a point where you don't even have to speak for yourself? That if you're faithful to God, even other folk will step up and speak for you. All you have to do is be faithful to what God has done, and other folk, come on somebody, will be your mouthpiece. Well, I found myself in front of King Darius, and Darius then asked me to interpret a dream. But not only that, other backbiters, because you do know whether you're on God's side or on the wrong side, you always going to have haters and backbiters. You do know that, don't you? So you might as well just choose God and deal with the haters than not choose God, because you're still going to have the haters. Come on, somebody. And so as it turns out, as I was elevated, even under King Darius, the chief administrators and the chief satraps, it says it right there in the Bible, they convened themselves together. Look at what it says. And they established a royal statute to say that if any person in the kingdom shall bow before another god or speak to another man, let him be cast into a den of lions. They thought they were trying to get me. They thought they were going to be sneaky and be a trickster, right? And so they convinced the king to pass this royal decree that if any other man, they know good and well every day I get up, I bow myself before my God of salvation. And so what they thought they were trying to do was trap King Darius into casting me into the lion's den. And in point of fact, he did just that. He realized that even though I bowed myself before my God of Israel, that if he passed this decree, that I would find myself in this circumstance. But look at what he says. Keep this slide up. Even after passing the decree, this is how God worked on my behalf. Even after passing the decree, King Darius didn't realize this would adversely impact me. And so even though he liked me, y'all, he found favor. I found favor in the court of King Darius. He allowed me to worship the God of Israel. And yet he realized that because of the royal decree, I would have to be thrown into the lion's den. And just before I was about to be thrown into the lion's den, put that slide back up. This is what he said to me. He said, Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he'll deliver you. Y'all not getting that point, are you? That the very king who doesn't worship the God I worship has befriended me because of the God I worship to say that I have evidence of how God has worked in your behalf before. And even though I'm about to throw you in the lion's den, I believe that the God of your God will bless you and deliver you while you're in the lion's den. If that's not God working on my behalf, I heard that y'all have a saying here in the 21st century called favor ain't fair. Is that what y'all say? I don't know why I got the favor of God on my life, but all I know is I thank him for the favor that he has blessed me with to allow my enemies to be a blessing to me. And so here I find myself in a den of lions. Lions all around me. Lions who in other circumstances have probably eaten and killed other men, women, boys, and girls in this very circumstance. But here I am talking to y'all because the lions are asleep, y'all. And little did they know that when they threw me in here, that God was gonna take me out of here. But God did what he did for my three other friends, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and stepped into the fiery furnace with them. God did for me what he did for them. He didn't take me out of the den. No, he just stepped in here with me in the den. And so while I am on my knees, I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God that, God, you shut up the mouth of the lions. They tried to destroy me, but you shut them down. They tried to kill me, but you shut them down. They tried to rip me apart, but you shut them down. Who can't serve a God like that? And so even while I'm in the den of lions, I've been praying to God. My book doesn't tell me how long I was in the lion's den, but it tells me that my friend Darius, the king of the Persian Empire, he prayed and blessed the God of my God. Blessed my God and said, your God will deliver you. And while I've been in here, don't you know that God has been good to me? I don't want to leave the lion's den so quickly, because some of y'all find yourselves in the lion's den. And I need y'all not to give up on God. I need you to understand that God will make your enemies your footstool. And every time you're trying to go up a little bit higher, you need something to step on. How many of you know your enemies, the very ones that are trying to destroy you, the very ones that are stabbing you in the back, the very ones that are talking about you, God will make them lie down. So all you gotta do is use them to step up a little bit higher. Shh, I hear the door rattling. I hear the door rattling. Here comes King Darius now. Your grace, we greet you, King. And the king was so happy that I was not destroyed. The king was so happy that I was not mauled to death by the lions. The king was so ecstatic, so elated, so enthusiastic, so thankful that even though he worshiped another god, he passed a decree in all of the Persian Empire. And the decree read something like this. It says, at the end of the of me coming out of the lion's den, that the king said, this decree shall be read to everybody in my kingdom, that they must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He goes on to say, in the next slide, he goes on to say that for he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. God, now give the message, are you? The king that had to throw me in the lion's den, once I stepped out of the lion's den, was so thankful and so excited that he began to worship the God that I praise. You're not getting the message, are you? When God delivers you, you need to stand up and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And when God gets finished with your circumstances, even your enemies will be blessing the God of salvation. The Bible says that the king passed his decree throughout all of the land that the God of Daniel, God of Daniel's deliverance and salvation, blessed be that God. And to his kingdom there shall be no end. And so I just stopped by to tell you who are believers in the same God I believed in back in my lion's den. I just stopped by to tell some of y'all to keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand. Because I don't know when God's going to deliver you. I don't know how God's going to deliver you. But I do know one thing. God can deliver you. And if he chooses not to deliver you, I want you to still praise him. Because if he doesn't do another thing, he's already blessed you enough. Do I have a witness today? Has the Lord already delivered you? Has the Lord already rescued you? Has the Lord already blessed you? I don't know when, and I don't know how, but that God, the God I serve, will also deliver you and rescue you out of your circumstances and your trials. So I just stopped by to say, blessed be the name of the Lord God Most High, right? Who has delivered Daniel out of his lion's den, and who can and will deliver you out of your lions. So y'all excuse me now, because I got some lions to step over. I need to go back to doing what I'm doing. I'm going to step over these lions as I get out of my lion's den and bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name, for the Lord is good. I said he's good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen, amen, and amen. You've got a praise offering in this place. Everyone standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. Listen, this wasn't a performance or entertainment. It was really my attempt to try to bring to life a character for whom I named my own son. That's why we named Daniel Daniel. I thought about giving him a Junior, Darryl Armstrong Jr. I said, no. I'm going to give him a D name, so he's going to be a DLA. But I'm going to give him another name. I like Daryl, but Daniel is even so much more powerful. Because God is his judge. I want you to know God is your judge. He's also your justice maker. So like Daniel, and like his friends Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, God can do for you what he did for them. And so it's a wonderful Old Testament story. It is a right story to teach children. But even we as adults should understand the depth of Daniel's life. That's only half the book. There are six more chapters. Daniel chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, and it talks about visions and judgments that are going to come. Daniel's book is powerful. I said, I don't want you just to stop at the nice two stories of the furnace and the lion's den. I want you to run on. Because some of y'all find yourselves in furnaces and in lion's dens. But God can deliver you. And this is what I always like to say. A lot of us think deliverance is being taken out of a circumstance. Sometimes deliverance is God's blessings in the midst of the circumstance. And so as the deacons and the deaconess and the clergy go out to help me extend the invitation, I want to say to someone on this Father's Day, make God your choice today. See, what got Daniel to that place of elevation and salvation is the same thing that kept Daniel, right? The God who kept me, got me here, is the God who's going to keep me while I'm here. My track coach said that to me all the time when I was at Stanford. He said, Armstrong, what got you here is going to keep you here.
All right.
And what he meant was the practice I put in Monday through Thursday before the meet is what's going to keep me when I get on the track field at the meet. And I use that for life. What got me here, if it was good enough to get me here, it's good enough to keep me while I'm here. And so I need someone today. The choir's going to sing. And as they get ready to sing, I need you to step out on faith. Give us your hand, but give God your heart. Go ahead and sing, choir. If you don't have a church home, I invite you to come and join with us. But if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to trust in the Lord. To give your life over to the Lord Jesus. Go ahead and sing, choir. As they sing, these two invitations are extended.
Never alone.
Is there someone today?
I don't have to worry, 'cause
sing, choir. Never alone.
Never alone.